With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to the XCast. The truth is in here. I'm your host, Tony Black, for our last look at My Struggle 3 and some of the decisions made. And we're going to talk about Chris Carter in this one and get into some of the nitty-gritty about some of the, like I say, some of the choices he's made and some of the decisions that might be going forward in Season 11. And I'm joined again by Andrew Blaker for the final time on My Struggle 3. Thanks, Andrew, for coming on for this.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, this is... This is an interesting one. I thought we'd do a little bit about Chris Carter because I think there's been a lot going on with him lately around the episode that I think warrants a little bit of discussion. And I think, you know, we've talked quite a lot about the plot of My Struggle 3 and a lot of the choices that are made, a lot of the decisions. The biggest one, of course, being the decision to have Scully potentially be impregnated by the cigarette smoking man, which is a big, you know, WTF for a lot of the fandom. The day before this premiered, Chris Carter did a Reddit AMA in which he was confronted, shall we say, by some of the fandom about the long-standing accusations that he's a misogynist and that he doesn't have any sensitivity in terms of especially abuse of women. And I think it's really interesting how then, if only they knew what was going to happen a day later, I think they'd have gone mental at him on that Reddit, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because it almost seems like, you know, incredibly timed that the day later he does something that I think would have reinforced these thoughts in a lot of people. It's a very delicate subject, but where do you stand on this, Andrew?
I am still trying to figure that out. I did see some of the Reddit AMA that they did, and there were a lot of those accusations flying. It goes to the whole why has Scully never gotten a desk? That's one of those reoccurring charges against him. There's others, of course, but you're right. I mean, it was pretty brutal, and this does not help those who are trying to defend him. I don't think this. I logged on Twitter, a Tumblr, various sites, various fan forums, and there's pretty widespread disdain, I guess I should say, for his choice to have Cigarette Smoking Man proclaim that, you know, he's responsible for impregnating her and he is, you know, William's father. A lot of people using the word rape for that. And so, you know, the charges have been there for years, but this adds the fuel to the fire. And I think you can't know someone like you can't know personally Chris Carter's views on things, but people are insinuating it based on what they see as him treating female characters differently than he would their male counterparts, not giving Agent Scully a desk. From that, people will infer, he doesn't think she's as valuable as Mulder is. I mean, I think it's a slippery slope, and I don't think that anyone knows him well enough, except maybe his immediate family, to know what his real views on it are. But when you are a public figure, when you are a creator, when you are the one behind a beloved, you know, multi-generational science fiction fandom, you know, you're put out there, and I think that your choices will be what people see and what they form their opinion of you personally on.
I think that's very well put, actually. And I think you're absolutely right in saying that, you know, people speculate all the time, but nobody knows, unless you know Chris Carter very well, potentially, yeah, his views on it. I mean, I'll be honest. I find it very hard to believe that somebody who created Dana Scully is a misogynist. I find it very hard to believe that, because ultimately The X-Files has been created by a whole group of writers, some amazing writers, quite a few writers, let's be honest, who are better writers than Chris Carter, okay? You know, he'd probably be the first person to agree, to be honest. And I think most people would agree with that. But I think he's the one who created Scully. She came fully formed out of his mind. He was the one who said to Fox in 1992, 1993, when they said to him, we want to get a Pamela Anderson buxom figure in. He's the one who said, no, I want somebody who is obviously attractive, but I want somebody who isn't just that, okay? Though, you know, he resisted that. He's the one who wanted somebody like Gillian Anderson, who was both beautiful and intelligent and could command that kind of role. He wrote Scully from day one as somebody who wasn't a cliche. She wasn't a character who was, you know, in a stock mold. She lacked a certain agency. And this is the thing. There are a lot of things about Scully that in terms of choices that were made that you can absolutely validly criticize. The lack of agency she had at the beginning, the fact she was getting kidnapped half the time and Mulder would be the one who would come in and rescue her. You know, the fact that she undergoes a lot of these, you know, quite traumatic events. Some of which, though, let's face it, were caused by real life things. The whole abduction storyline was birthed out of the fact that Gillian Anderson was pregnant. We would never even got that, possibly, in the same way had that not happened. He reacted to what was going on in the real world. You know, the whole way Scully ends up in season 9, specifically, where she's pining after Mulder and all she does is, my baby, and the fact she's the third wheel, which has been talked about at length on the Podwatch. But, you know, there's a lot of things with Scully's, the decisions that were made by Carter, ultimately, as the guy who signs off on it all, that weren't great in terms of a character. But I don't think somebody who crafted that character in tandem with Gillian Anderson can honestly be regarded as a misogynist who would very callously sort of write off, you know, this incredibly very sensitive subject. I think people are missing the point somewhat with this, in that I think he's commenting on the very thing that some of them are accusing him of. I think the very fact that he's made the ultimate abuser of power in The Smoking Man be somebody who has committed something incredibly personal, potentially, against Scully, against her will, against her knowledge, is very, very, very acute in terms of what we are finding out now in the real world. And I think that is precisely what he wants everyone to be horrified. I think that's the whole point. This whole season, to be honest, quite a lot in this episode scared me. And a fundamental commentary level of where we are as a species, I'm far more scared that we're going to have a conspiracy of men wipe us all out with a plague or consume us with the boot of a totalitarian state than an alien race coming down. I'm genuinely more scared of that, because it's more likely to happen. And that is where we are with the X-Files. I don't think he's intentionally trying to do these things to upset people. I think he's making the point that these things are happening now in the real world. All he's doing is reflecting it.
Exactly. He wants, I mean, that's what he did with my struggle too. I mean, reflecting the idea that, you know, Mulder and Tad O'Malley's claims that, you know, that there's, for lack of a better term, you know, deep state that is already, you know, plotting its takeover of America. And, you know, at the time, you know, you'd had Edward Snowden, you'd had all sorts of stories that kind of mirrored that, and now still relevant, but you also have the whole fake news, the whole, you know, global reaction to the fact that, you know, Donald Trump's president. And he writes the mythology to reflect the times that it's in. Bill Clinton is no longer president. George Bush is no longer president. You're not going to write the mythology quite the same way. And what is lost is continuity to a degree, but you roll with that. Going back real quick to what you were saying about Scully, you know, this is not that, and this is coming to me the more I think and think about the episode, this is really not that big of a change from what's happened. She had a child, Emily, who was conceived from a manipulated ovum without her knowledge, without her involvement, from when she was abducted in season 2. She found out about the child, you know, years later, and the child was dead, you know, the next episode. So if he had done that this time, if you know, or season 8, you know, when Scully was pregnant and there were her Dr. Parenti, the geneticist or whatever, was involved, you know, this is not that new of material. It's very bold in that it's very explicit, and it's very bold in that, you know, it's a timely political current issue now. But in terms of just looking in the universe of the X-Files, it's not new. It's not new at all. She has been, I think we said this a few episodes back when we were talking about Scully as a character, she has been abused by her role in the FBI, you know, by men in authority, going back to the beginning of the show, and this is just another instance of that.
Yeah, I entirely agree with that. I think this is essentially an evolution of what has already been happening to her, you know, and in the past it was alien abduction, or it was, you know, experiments on a you know, fertility and things like that. The fact now it's tapping into a very systemic abuse, level of abuse by somebody who represents, you know, the highest levels of power in many senses. You know, he describes himself, "I am the most powerful man in the world." That's what the Smoking Man says. I think it's interesting because I've been talking on various groups about this in the last few days, and I in my review I mentioned that, you know, this is essentially linked to the idea that, you know, we've got a president who seems to think that an abuse and that kind of thing is acceptable. And somebody took me to task on that and said, you know, this has nothing to do with real life people, and that Bill Clinton, you know, the X-Files was created in the era of Bill Clinton, and he was never mentioned, but he was in one episode specifically. But I don't think we can honestly turn around and say that there is no link between the most powerful man in the world in the real world and the Smoking Man. And I think to ignore that fact and what Chris Carter is trying to comment on is, I just think that's wrong. And I think people are potentially coming at it from the wrong angle, really, in that people struggle to separate. I said this in an earlier podcast. They struggle to separate from their passionate feelings about what should be happening to Scully. And the fact that Chris Carter, and I've said this in other podcasts and in other pieces of writing, Chris Carter is essentially the modern day Gene Roddenberry from Star Trek, in that his whole show is about reflecting and analysing, and in terms of allegory a lot of the time, what our society is. And that's why the X-Files, I think, has struck a chord, like, in a way, like Star Trek did in the 1960s, because it's always done that. That is what this entire thing is about.
And I'll take it even a step further. It's for those who are, you know, you said you spoke to someone who, you know, had said it has nothing to do with the real world. Well, that's hypocritical, because it absolutely does. You would not have had the backlash that you're seeing right now if this episode had aired 5 years ago. We cannot avoid our reactions to fiction, to science fiction, to television, which is what the X-Files ultimately is. Our reactions are based on what's happening in the real world. And if you're, you know, it's hypocritical if someone were to deny that, quite honestly. I mean, and you're right. I think the political, the cultural climate that we're in now, you don't get enough people capable of honestly separating this in their minds, really. And that's where their reactions are coming from. And I'm not saying that their reactions are not justified, based on what's going on in the world. But again, you have to be able to separate some things in life, you know, I mean, and so I agree with you on what he was trying to do here, how it is just an extension of the X-Files mythology, which we all like, you know, it's an extension of how those characters have been treated in the mythology going back to 1993. And the fact that it's happening now with you know, sexual harassment and everything, you know, so dominant in the news right now, the timing is what's bringing about this reaction to the characters and what's going on.
You know, and I think that there's a more than fair argument that there's a level of sensitivity that maybe it doesn't have. You know, I completely understand that, and I completely understand that it is upsetting, it is offensive to people, and he isn't necessarily the most sensitive about it. I get that completely. You know, and there are a lot of criticisms that are quite valid about the execution of My Struggle 3. You know, if you separate, I think in terms of its themes and what it's commenting on and what it's talking about and some of the ideas, I think it's really quite great, actually. I think there's a really lot, really chunky amount of substance to that. But I think in terms of execution, it is wanting. You know, like My Struggle and My Struggle 2, especially My Struggle 2, were. And I, from that perspective, that's his weakness, ultimately. So I think a lot of these criticisms are perfectly valid, but I think the problem is when, like we say, people can't separate. And I think that there's an issue of being unable to read beyond what is actually happening to these characters and in this story, and read beyond what ultimately we are talking about. And The X-Files has always been a show, and one of the reasons we love it, well, one of the reasons a lot of us love it, is because it's not just about investigating the paranormal, it is reflecting what is going on in the real world. And I think, you know, I think there's a level of the fandom being divided in terms of that the X-Files fandom is very much divided between people who are interested in the, you know, the commentary and what it's saying and the symbolism and the subtext, and people who are interested in the romance, and the people who are interested in the, you know, in the happy ever after for Mulder and Scully and the character development in that way. And, you know, I mean, personally, that's not my interest. I've never been a shipper. I'm not anti-shipper at all. And I'd be perfectly happy in some respects to see Mulder and Scully go off and have a happy ending. But at the same time, I don't really believe the X-Files should have an ending as such. That's my personal take on it. And I don't think Chris Carter does either. And I think all these questions that he's had of, oh, is this the end? You know, Gillian Anderson's said there's no more, she's not doing any more. He's just come out and said, I'm not doing any more without Gillian. So, you know, by all intents and purposes, this is it. And there was even the, did you hear about the hidden message from him?
I did. That was really neat.
Yeah, that was encoded in what sounded like alien voices in the credits, which is essentially him saying, well, you know, goodbye and thanks for all the fish, you know, over the last few years. And it's that whole, you know, he's aware that this is probably it now. And I think, you know, there is a level of ending, there is a level of coming to that conclusion, but I don't think really, I think it's impossible for him to please everybody. And I think it's always been that way. I think with something like this, where it's become more than a show, it's got characters who are embedded in popular culture, who are synonymous with their age. It talks about things that tap into a zeitgeist that goes way beyond a simple little show about two FBI agents looking into ghosts and monsters and aliens. He will never please everybody. And I think he knows that. And I think it's unfair, from my perspective, it's unfair to try and bring him down for that fact. Myself.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right. I mean, something that has gone well beyond his reach and has been well beyond his reach for years. I mean, there are fans of every, you know, stripe who, you know, watch the show for one reason or another, or who don't watch the show for one reason or another, who, like you said, you know, you wouldn't necessarily identify as a shipper, whereas you have other fans who, you know, make the shipper fan videos, you know, so you're going to have people who approach it from 100 different ways, and that is good, and that is exactly how it is supposed to be. And you're right, you cannot please everyone, because everyone comes to the show looking for something different. And that is extremely fair, and I think that there does need to be separation between, you know, you may not be the biggest fan of Chris Carter as a creator, writer, executive producer, but taking it to the level of personal attacks and things, that's something different altogether in my book. And I think that there's a lot of that going on, not just with CSM's revelation of William's paternity, but going back to the critical divide, the fan divide over season 10 and probably the fan divide over My Struggle 3 now. And, you know, he's never going to please everyone, and that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the honest truth of it, really. And I think it'll be interesting to see what he does with the rest of the season, especially My Struggle 4, which I don't think will be as contentious, but who knows? Who knows how it's all going to come to an end, really? But we'll see. The next few weeks will be very, very interesting, I think. So, yeah, we'll see where we go. So, Andrew, it's been really great talking to you about My Struggle 3 these last few days, and you'll be back on for another episode later in the season. Until then, where can people find you?
We have a great X-Files Basement Facebook fan group. I'm also on Twitter, linked under that group. There's just some great stuff on there you need to see. And at AndrewBlaker620 on Twitter. And you can find me through the Facebook group, X-Files Basement.
Awesome. Okay, great stuff. And yeah, find us at the XCast basement and at the X_cast on Twitter for lots more coverage of season 11 and all things in between. So yeah, we'll be back very soon in the next few days when we start our coverage of the second episode of season 11, This. So we'll be back to cover that super soon. So until then, thanks for joining us to talk about My Struggle 3, and always remember, I want to lie.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.